want to go right into the Word of God today. And so if you are reading along with me, whatever device or your Bible, open up to Job chapter 38, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18. Immediately, everybody's, the air gets sucked out of the room when you say Job, because normally what we do in the body of Christ, we're like, you know, all the books of the Bible, then when we bypass Job because it doesn't make sense, so we're just going to scoot right on over. I don't like what that book has to say, so I'm just going to go right on over to, you know, Psalms and Proverbs. Pretty cute, okay? But we're going to dive right in because that's what we feel like the season that we're in. We're going to dive right into Job. So Job chapter 38, in verse 1, it says this: "Then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind." So this is the Lord speaking to Job. How many of you have ever had the Lord take you to task?
Yeah.
We are about to hear the Lord take Job to task. And it says, "Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying lines? What supports its foundation, and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst forth from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness, for I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores, I said, this far and no further will you come. Here you proud waves must stop. Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wickedness and stops the arm that is raised in violence. Have you explored the springs from which the sea come? Have you explored their depths? Do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me about it if you know." Scoot over to chapter 42. And it says this: "Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things too far wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them." And here's Job's answer: "I have only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance." I want to pray for a second. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, we know that as we hear the word, Lord, that faith is built inside of us. Lord, that you're developing something that's lasting, that it's eternal inside of us. I thank you that you have no concern with pacifying our emotions, God, but that you have concern over our soul. And so I thank you that as you develop and as you grow us into your people, the people that you've called, the people to lead in this next generation, in this next season, I thank you that you're establishing a firm foundation in who we are. Lord, take us to task today. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. So like Richie said, we are in this series called Fundamental, and we are talking about the fundamentals of our faith. And sometimes as we grow and as we develop in our relationship with the Lord, we forget that we have to take survey of the foundation. Like a building is built, they add on top. And if they're not careful and they don't look underneath the surface, things can grow under there. And although the building is nice and tall, there's cracks in the foundation. So over these next couple of weeks, we really felt like the Lord asked us, take a look below the surface, look beneath the surface. What are you serving? What are you seeing under there? Is it healthy? Is it built on me? Is it built on your abilities? What is it built on? So that's what this series is all about. If you're taking notes today, the title of my message would be called Pity Party. I thought that was a nice little thing the Lord reminded me of. So it's called Pity Party today. And before I get started with my message, and truthfully, we're going to walk backwards through the book of Job today. That's what we're going to do. We started in the very end, and we're going to walk all the way back through. But I want to tell you a little story. Richie and I were on staff at a church. Well, he was on staff at a church. And Mia was a baby, very, very young. And we were on staff at this church. And we periodically talk about this season, just trying to make sense of like different things that happen in your life once you're outside of it. I'll be honest with you, there's certain seasons, even now, that I'm like, what the heck was happening during that season? But sometimes we rehash certain things and talk about it. We were talking about this season, and the Lord kind of reminded me in my quiet time of some of the things that he brought us through. And in this season, what had happened was, so we had taken a position in one area of ministry, just one area of ministry. And so we started off in that area of ministry, but little by little, as church goes, people leave, staff leaves, things happen for varying reasons. People got jobs out of town, things like that. Not all of it was bad. Some of it was left for hurt and things like that, but just, leave. So there was a lot of vacancies that kept becoming available on staff. And at that time, they would say, oh, Richie's doing a good job, give it to him. Oh, Richie's doing a good job, give it to him. At what point in time, we started off just handling kids ministry. That was it. And just a couple of years into that season, we had about 400 people in our care. That's a lot of people. To go on staff and say, I'll handle these 50, and then all of a sudden you have 400 people. And it's not just, like TCC, like y'all are built. Like this church is built. Like, we don't have bickering and arguing and fight. We just don't have that because y'all allow God to do the work. But there are some churches that don't experience that. And when you are coming on staff at a church and you think it's all gonna be roses and all these kids are gonna get saved and we're gonna do all these things for the Lord, and quickly you realize you are at max capacity and you don't have grace for what you're in. What do you do in seasons like that where you're trying to rationalize, Lord, we've just said yes to you over and over and over again because that's what people were telling us. Missy and Richie are great. Give it to them. They're great. Give it to them. Here's the problem. I'm going to give you a big fat snapshot into that entire season. And this is what I wrote down. Our insecurities fueled our decisions, but it was our pity party that sabotaged our growth. In that season, the Lord was giving us an opportunity to establish healthy boundaries in ministry. Truly, establish healthy boundaries in ministry. Just because someone strokes your ego doesn't mean you have grace for what they're feeding you. In that season, that's what it was. Oh, we're great. Oh, yes, we can handle it. Oh, of course, we can handle it. Richie's working 65, 70 hours a week. I'm working outside of the church, but have to be at everything. It was a very tenuous season. We lost a child during that season. My stomach was so full of ulcers. You can ask my mom. I was having to have endoscopies and all of these things done. Why? Because we didn't have grace for that season. And we didn't learn what it looks like to establish healthy boundaries and to say, I'm at capacity. I'm at capacity. And so instead of communicating, I need a break, we need some help, we just kept taking it on and taking it on. And I'll be very honest with you. In that season, I became part of the problem because I personally started with another staff member to go to lunch. And it initially just started off with me just venting and just, I'm so frustrated right now. I'm so irritated. But then it turned into this gossip fest. And then what happens is every time we would eat together, it would have a dopamine hit for me because it was like, I'm hearing inside information that I could leverage against these people. And it was so demonic. It was so demonic. And it was such a ploy of the enemy. And it kept me shackled and bound to a season of insecurity when I really needed to just speak out and say, you know what? This is not healthy. And I wonder how often do we get stuck in a pity party? And instead of growing in a season and looking at that season as, wait a second, if I am in this season and the Lord has allowed me in this season, what am I needing to learn in this season? What needs to happen so that I can grow in this season? What are some of the things that I need to establish? What healthy boundaries have to take place so that I am not shackled emotionally and I'm immature, that I can grow? And so that's where I wanna go today. Self-pity is described as this: it's excessive, self-absorbed unhappiness over one's own trouble. Excessive, self-absorbed unhappiness over one's own trouble. And very quickly, I want to give you three reasons why self-pity arises. The first is this: it attracts attention. It attracts attention. I'm feeling some kind of way, and when I can verbalize that, all of a sudden people come on board, and their misery loves company. It loves it. It loves it. It gives us the affirmation. It gives us the things that we need. So that's one reason why it arises. The second one is empathy. It garners empathy. I can connect my unhealthy self to people that feed, you're right, I'm so sorry, I'm so sad for you. And then we pick up the phone and we call that person, or we sit at lunch and we gossip with that person, because it feeds the empathy that we're looking for. The third reason why it comes up is manipulate an outcome. It manipulates an outcome. Fasting and praying for God to change a situation instead of fasting and praying for God to align our hearts. That's what it ends up being for me. That's what it ended up being. Fasting and praying and, Lord, get us out of this situation and open up another door for us to be somewhere else, that where people love us and value us. And all along, the Lord is saying, if you would just align your heart with mine so that I can speak truth to you in this situation, you'll know exactly what to do. Instead of running to people and clinging to people and patching them to your unhealthy emotional self. And then we become these like groveling human beings. And guess what? That's how the world suffers. But that's not how we as believers, God has called us to suffer. And I'm sorry if you've never been in a church before where they tell you that you're gonna suffer, but it doesn't matter if you're a believer or you're not a believer at all. You are going to suffer in life, period. It's life. It's life. No one escapes scot-free. Nobody, nobody. The three most powerful verses, I think, in the entire Bible for me personally are 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 through 5. And it says this: we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the stronghold of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. If you've been in church more than 5 minutes, you've heard somebody say, take every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. And that's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. Grab those thoughts and harness them into submission to the will of God. That's what he's called us to do. But what Paul is saying in there is that we have been commissioned by God to advance the kingdom of God. We have been commissioned. You have been commissioned. God has called you to advance the kingdom of God. And if we're going to be successful in that, we have to know what we believe. We have to yield and wield the weapons that he has given us. We have to recognize prideful behaviors and call it out. Self-pity is in fact a form of pride. And in just a few seconds, I'm gonna show you why. If you could throw up my next slide, the formula for self-pity. This is how it looks. A negative thought comes in. We dwell on the thought, and then all of a sudden, the narcissistic, self-righteous behavior wells up inside of us. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. And then pride arises. Misty, why are we talking about pride? We already talked about pride. Let's talk about something else. I don't want to talk about pride. The problem is pride is one of the biggest reasons why Christians fall. It's one of the biggest reasons why we could look out and pick up a news article and hear about another pastor falling into temptation. It's the biggest reason why we see missionaries and evangelists step off the mission field, because pride arises in their heart and they become something that God never intended them to do, Lord and master of their own life. He equips, but then we take the credit. He gives us the platform, and then all of a sudden we take the credit. And we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We have to turn that pride into praise. The moment that we feel that pride arise, we have to turn it into praise. But in the season of hardship, growth becomes stunted when self-pity arises. It holds us to a situation. It shackles us. Listen to this. Moving backwards through the book of Job, Job 13:3. Verses 23 and 24. It says, as for me, this is Job talking. As for me, I would speak directly to the Almighty. I want to argue my case with God himself. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Show me my rebellion and my sin. Why do you turn away from me? Why do you treat me as your enemy? If you're reading the awe of God, hearing that, you're like, oh Lord. Shoot, I'm not going there with the Lord, right? But Job was so frustrated in his season because he's like, hey, listen, I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm mad. I didn't get a warning. All of a sudden, you take everything from me. In moments, I lose everything. And some of us, here's the hard part. We understand Job. We're like, Lord, I'm struggling. I've lost a lot of things. Here's where it gets concerning. When we stop talking to God, that's when it gets concerning. When we stop talking to God, do I think that Job, the Lord was disciplining Job? No, I think he was like, oh, okay. Let me tell you about me. Let me tell you about me for a second. Cause I know you think you've been harmed, but let me tell you about me. Every opportunity that we encounter in suffering is an opportunity for us to learn more about who God is and who he wants to reveal himself to us. Every opportunity of suffering. But here's the question. What if what you are walking through right now is because God allowed it? But maybe worse, what if he recommended you? What if he recommended you for the season that you're in? What if the enemy was rolling around on the earth looking for someone and the Lord said, have you considered Malia? Because she's faithful. And listen, this is what happened with Job. Job 1:6-12. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, note that down. Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, but Job has good reason to fear you. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So Satan left the Lord's presence. That's hard. we skip over that intentionally because it's so hard. Why would God recommend me to be essentially to lose? Why? Why would he put me in a situation where things are not the way that they should be? When I've served him faithfully, when I've given him everything that I had, when I've said yes when I wanted to say no, why would he take away all the good things in my life? Why would he rip the rug out from underneath me? Why would he do that? It's difficult when we're walking through hardship and difficulty to make sense of what God's doing and why he allows certain things. It's so hard. And I want to give you the formula for trust. Because ultimately, this is what it is. Negative thoughts come in. We take those thoughts captive. Constant surrender. Trust is built in that season. Trust is built in that season. I will tell you this. For Richie and I, when we were walking through that season, had we have learned to establish a boundary, had we have learned how to walk out healthy ministry, how to not let our emotions and our egos be stroked in those seasons, but had we've learned what God wanted to teach us, when he opened the door for us to go to the next season, we would have known exactly what it looked like to put healthy boundaries in place, because the next season was harder than that season. The next season was harder because God asked us to establish boundaries, not only in ministry, but with our families. And if you've ever been rejected by people, that's one thing. But if you've been rejected by your family, that's another. And had we have learned in one season what it looked like to be firm and to be clear and to be connected to the Lord and not be swayed emotionally, that when we entered into that next season, we would have said, you know what? We walked through this before, and here's how we have to guard our emotions. We're not gonna say yes to everything. But instead, we didn't. We didn't. And in that season, we had to learn in the hardest manner what it looked like. But I will tell you this, we got there. And shortly after we got there, the Lord called us to plant this church. And it was out of what felt like hell that God said, okay, now you're ready. What hell are you walking through right now? And it feels like, God, where are you? Where are you, God? And God's saying, if you would just listen to me right now, I'm trying to prepare you for the next season, because you can't see the times and seasons. You don't know what's coming up ahead, but I do. I do. And if you do it now, I'm telling you, in the next season, you're going to walk out and you're going to be like, okay, I got it, God, because I learned in that season. I know how to fight the enemy right here because I fought him back here. But now I'm having to learn how to hold a sword, and I'm having to learn how to wield a sword in a season. And it becomes such a battle that this is where Christians walk away. Lord, it's too hard. I'm going to give in to the temptation. I'm going to give in to the porn. It's easier. I can't fight it anymore. It's just too hard. No, it's because you didn't learn back here how to fight it. And so now you're walking into the new season, and there's a whole bunch of new devils on this level. A whole bunch of new devils on this level. And the Holy Spirit is so good, and he's so kind, and he speaks so much truth to us. I promise you, I say it every single week because I mean it all the time. If you sit in his presence, he will tell you what to do. He will give you direction. He will give you insight. You will open up the word of God, and it's like, man, I never saw that. I mean, I've read that, but I've never seen that. Like Job, where he said, I heard about you, but in this moment of hell, I see you in this season. If we apply what Job walked through and we look at our season as a church right now, can we apply the situation of, Lord, we don't know what you are doing, and it does not make sense. And there's a part of us that wants to get mad and stomp our feet and pitch a fit, and why don't we have, and why can't we go? And the Lord's saying, you can't discern the seasons like I can. And I need you to trust me in this moment, because I'm teaching you how to fight here, because in the next season that you're about, if you don't think the enemy is mad at the community chapel, you need to look again. You need to look again, because here's what I know about the enemy. Even if he went to God and said, yeah, I'd love to be able to mess with the community chapel, but I can't because you got a hedge of protection around them. What if God said, okay, I'll remove it. Do what you want, but don't hurt them. What would we do in that season? Would pitch a fit? Oh, that's it. I'm out of here, God. You didn't make a way for me. Would we do that? Would we do that? Oh yeah, here's the enemy to God. Yeah, if I can just remove their comfortable building, they're gonna fall apart. They're not gonna come to know the Lord. They're gonna walk away from God. Leslie's not gonna lead worship anymore. They're not gonna know what to do. People are gonna be scattered. It's gonna be all over the place. That's what's gonna happen. And the Lord's saying, I dare you. I dare you. If we have to have church in a house, we've done it before. We've done it before. Y'all don't know this. A lot of you don't know this, but Richie and I, before we started this church, for 1 year, we had church in a house. Right. We're not scared.
That's right.
We're not scared, and we're not backing up. We are not, because God has called this church to take ground from the enemy, and we are going to do just that. And so if it looks funky in this season, if it looks like, ooh, I don't really want to go to church in someone's house. Yeah, we don't either, but we'll do it.
Right.
I'm not scared because we did it once and we will do it again, because God has always been faithful and he will continue to be faithful. And that's what I hope you take away from today. I hope you take that away from this season, is that as we wind down this chapter and whatever that looks like and whatever God has called us to go into, we are not going to back up. We are not going to sit down. We are not going to take a week off. We are not going to pony prance around Pinellas County. We are not doing that. We are going to continue to meet. We are going to continue to be faithful. We're going to do what God has asked us to do, and we're going to take ground from the enemy on his territory. So what happens is, you can remove the building, but you cannot remove the people, because now we're outside. Now we're going to the people. So guess what? Now we're going to grow. And now people are going to come to know the Lord, not because they're coming to church, because newsflash, people aren't coming to church anymore. But God said, go to the people. Can we do it? Are we okay with that? It's going to look funky, but can we do that? I think we can. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for the resolve inside of their hearts to know you and to grow. I thank you that they have been called by you. Lord, in this next season, would you reinforce our spine to stand up against the tools of the enemy? We are not going to back down. We are not going to cower to his intimidation. We're going to move forward into all that you have for us, God. Lord, forgive us for our pity party. Forgive us for the times where we sat like Job in ashes and cried out, why me? Lord, we thank you that in every season is an opportunity to surrender to you. And so we're going to continue to surrender. We're going to continue to give you our yes. We're going to continue to say yes when everybody else is saying no. I thank you that this church is going to grow, not just numerically, Father God, but it's going to grow in the resolve. I thank you that our children are not going to look like the world. I thank you that they're going to be separate and set apart for you. I thank you that every assignment of the enemy is going to be null and void. Lord, you've called us, you've equipped us, and you've given us the tools and the resources to take on the enemy on his territory. And so we say yes. We say yes to whatever this next season looks like, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to build your kingdom. This isn't about us. Lord, demolish every pride thing that would try to exalt itself against the knowledge of who you are. We accept the assignment and we say yes in Jesus' name.